today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you about China's unique new wild animal park, and you say you want to go to the Super Bowl? Best start planning that car wash. Tickets ain't cheap.
One of the things that we work hard on here on this radio show is making you a smarter traveler.
Today, we have our two best consumer advocates to help us. At 3:20, Chris Elliott from USA Today and The Washington Post talks about people who fake it at the airport and the true value of price guarantee.
At 3:35, Ed Perkins joins us to help you with your next car rental. From insurance to Ed's own list of gotchas to avoid, Ed will make you smarter the next time that you approach that car rental counter.
Finally, at 3:50, we put on our entertainment hats and take you to a popular pair of theaters in the Sierra foothills.
Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon, making you a smarter traveler. We are here, the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
A traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every Sunday from 3 to 4. We're taking our best shot at making you a smarter traveler. Mark, speaking of being a smarter traveler, what did you learn on the road? you just got back from Key West.
Yeah, we have such a great program today. There's not a whole lot of time to ramble, so I may have to save some of this for next week. But we had a wonderful trip to Key West. Folks from all over the country were part of our tour this time around. And I just have to say that you may think you live in California, and you may think Florida is not necessarily some place that you really feel like that you want to go to, but Key West is really a different sort of place, and it's really a unique destination. And if you haven't been there, you need to put it on your bucket list. I have the privilege of going there once a year with a group of folks, but it's a combination of history and eclectic cultures, and it's just a really unique destination. It really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the rest of Florida.
Quick question. Did you have any issues with weather flying to Florida how things have been?
Did we have any? Yeah, we had a little bit of issue getting in there, and the weather's been kind of, it's what's really fun is when the temperature only gets to like 67 or 68 is watching people in Miami and Key West and stuff walking around in big winter coats with thermal jackets on and complaining how cold it is constantly. Yeah. It's all relative, I guess.
Well, at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. So let's do that now. Mark, what do you got on our news today?
Well, coming out of San Francisco is word that a big Broadway show, the hit Hamilton, is coming to San Francisco this spring. It's a really unique kind of combination of history and a rock opera. So if it won the Tony Award for Best Musical. So if you are a musical fan, that's one to keep an eye on. Tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but it is definitely coming, and Sports Leisure Vacations will have lots of trips to go down and see it. So if you're looking for a way to get down there, we will can provide you with that. From China, I mentioned this in the headlines, comes word of a new theme park. Let me just show you this picture here, Tom. Look at this is where you get to feed the wild animals in the theme park.
Oh my gosh.
You're in a cage.
Yes.
You know, on a vehicle with maybe it looks like a giant cage on the back of it.
It does, yeah.
And people are and in this picture here, you can go to travelguysradio.com and you can see this, the picture of it in the whole article, but you can see tigers basically climbing the side of the cage.
Oh my gosh.
Would that not scare the living bejesus out of you?
Honestly.
I mean, you go out and take this tour, and you can feed the animals, and they are roaming wild within the park, so they just come and attach themselves.
Well, we've seen a lot of these, you know, safari adventure kind of things,
yeah,
where you're in an open vehicle, and then the giraffe comes over, but you have truly wild animals that you have to be in a caged enclosure to protect yourself from.
At the San Diego Wild Animal Park, they have a wonderful package that allows you to go out into the middle of a compound and interact with rhinoceros and giraffes and things, fun things like that. But they're generally a little bit less threatening,
right,
than the picture here, which shows basically it looks like these animals are trying to get into this cage. I'm not sure that I'd be interested in something.
Travelguysradio.com, you can see it there.
A little more experiential than I might necessarily go for. Busiest airport in the United States? What do you think it is, Thomas?
Let's see. Dulles.
That's a reasonably good guess in the top five. Actually, for the last 4 years, Atlanta, Hartsfield, and O'Hare in Chicago have taken turns back and forth. They're real close in terms of numbers of departures. This year, Atlanta has grabbed the top spot away from Chicago. So Atlanta is the busiest airport in the country. Super Bowl tickets this year. If you want to get Super Bowl tickets, gosh, you know, the odds are really against you. Season ticket holders from each NFL team, is allotted a very small number. The host city gets a bigger number than the others. So the 49ers had more tickets than everybody else. But basically, unless you're an incredibly lucky person, you're going to buy them at street level. Ticket prices have already exceeded $10,000 for prime seats.
Are you kidding?
You can get into the game for as little as about $4,500 currently. So it's just, I can remember when Super Bowl tickets were, when you could sit in the end zone of the Rose Bowl, the last time the Super Bowl was down there, for about $800, and I remember how much people complained about the price of those tickets. So now they're roughly about 6.5 times that, although I will suggest to you that the new stadium in San Jose probably has a few more creature comforts than the Rose Bowl, the old Rose Bowl in Pasadena. But
right.
Still, can you imagine two people? Four nights minimum hotel.
If you got it, spend it, right?
That's it. So we have a really busy program for you today. So a little bit of a shortened travel news segment. So that is your travel news for today.
All righty. And do we have a winner for...
Oh, we do. Yes, we do. For a Sports Leisure winner here, in case we don't have time at the end. Congratulations to our winner from last week who claimed a $200 travel card. Our winner for this week is Sharon Hoffart, H-O-F-F-A-R-T, who went on a Jersey Boys trip. She gets a $100 travel card if she calls the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday.
All right, coming up after the break, we're being joined by one of the, most popular and... probably read more than any consumer reporter, Chris Elliott.
Yeah, absolutely. Writes in the Washington Post, writes for USA Today, has a syndicated column in the travel section of the Bee every week. He is all over the place. He really is Mr. Travel, a new website, and always something happening there. He's going to tell us about it.
And we're going to be talking specifically today about people who fake it on airlines. Stay tuned. Find out what that is next on The Travel Guys. Welcome to The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here on a weekly basis between 3 and 4 here on KFBK to, in some way, help make you a smarter traveler and maybe improve, your travels wherever you may go on a regular basis. And we like to bring on people smarter than us to help in that particular venue. Mark, bring on our guest.
Well, so we went and got the man who wrote the book, How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. His column appears on Sundays in the Sacramento Bee Travel section. He is an advocate for consumers on many different levels, and I also will mention has an outstanding website that we'll give him a chance to talk about here in just a minute. Christopher Elliott is our guest on The Travel Guys. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So, the new website, it's really quite a production for folks who haven't seen it. Tell us a little bit about it and how folks can find it.
The site is Elliott.org, like my last name. So it's E-L-L-I-O-T-T, two L's, two T's. And it is a collection of advice, travel stories, new cases, and tips for how to be a smarter traveler. Plus, get this, we have the names, email addresses, and phone numbers for all the top executives at the big travel companies.
Oh, my.
So how cool is that, Tom?
Yeah.
Every day you go on this website, and every day, just about every day, they provide you with a different travel entity's contact stuff. And I can tell by some of the responses on the website that these numbers are helping people get to people who can make things happen for them. When people, you know, you've got that situation, that ticket that the airline said they would refund it, and they never did. And you call them up, and they act like nobody has any clue as to what's going on, and you can't get your money back. Well, Mr. Elliott's website has got a list of people that you can contact that will make the ball start rolling. Is that pretty accurate, Chris?
It is, yes. Look, if you've ever had a problem with a travel company, or any company for that matter, and you know how it goes, you buy something and maybe you're not happy with it, or the hotel stay doesn't go well, or they lose your reservation, and you call them up and you say you have a problem, and they tell you that there are no supervisors that you can talk to. Well, this is the antidote to that. If you have, if you want to get in touch with someone higher up, we actually have the names and email addresses of all those people. And I got to tell you, the companies, it drives them crazy when we do this. We get emails from them and calls from them saying, please remove our executive. And of course we don't, because you know what? This information deserves to be public.
Well, and it gives people a way to make things happen. So if you're stuck or you're just frustrated, it's Elliott.org. I get it in my mailbox every day. You can subscribe to it. And Chris, I will tell you that, you know, even though I'm a professional travel guy, I spend 10 or 15 minutes reading this stuff every day. And some of it is entertaining and some of it is uplifting and some of it's a little frustrating, but they are great consumer stories. I have a couple things on my list here before we get off track for too long. You did an article just here recently about price guarantees, and I found it to be quite fascinating. You revealed that these people who say, well, you know, we'll match the price and the price guarantee, or, you know, plus 20% or whatever, that is a real hard bet to collect on.
It's an impossible bet to collect on in some cases, which is really too bad. You know, you see these best rate guarantees that hotels and airlines have, and you think to yourself, well, I'm virtually assured that I'm going to get the best price possible.
Right.
And then when you go to actually collect, you realize that there are significant limitations. For example, a claim has to be made within 24 hours. You can't make a claim if you're less than 24 hours from, say, a hotel stay. And it has to also be in the same class of service. So it's got to be the same fare class. And you're a professional, so maybe you can explain fare classes.
No, I'm afraid
I can't. Mean economy class or business class. There are, you know, something like 16 fare classes per flight.
Uh-huh.
So all those things have to match up exactly.
And it's same thing with the hotel. If you've got a room, it's got to be a two-bedded room with the marina view. You know, it's got to be exact apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
And it, really, the worst part of it is, if you have some kind of a special discount code and you make a reservation, like, say, AAA, that doesn't count. They're not going to honor a price match on that. So it's got to be done with no other kind of discount or special offer. And that often foils people, because they'll put in their AAA discount and then they'll think that they can get the hotel or the airline to match. Usually the hotel to match. So it can be extremely frustrating for travelers.
It sounds, Chris, like the best thing to do in those situations, if you find a price that is lower than what you're paying, is to try to get the price match guarantee before the fact, as opposed to after the fact.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where a good travel agent can come in, because they can find really great deals sometimes that you wouldn't even be able to find online. But yes, find the best price before you make the reservation. Once you make the reservation, here's some really unconventional advice. Don't look back. Because you know what? Especially if you're dealing with an airfare, you're always going to find a lower fare at some point, and buyer's regret is going to set in. Don't let that happen. It's your vacation. Your time is more valuable.
Absolutely. And we've even broken down people's hours on vacation. Our good buddy Ed Perkins, who is joining us later on in the program, Ed talked about how you could break down, you know, your hours on vacation to decide what your hours are worth, and whether or not taking the public transit, which is $10 cheaper than taking the taxi, was really a good deal to start with. Chris, one other thing I wanted to talk to you about today. You are gathering some information about what you call fakers. And I find this to be a fascinating topic. Tom, you may or may not have heard of the miracle flights, where people are wheeled onto airplanes in wheelchairs because there's no possible way that they could walk down the jetway. And then magically, when the plane lands on the other end, they don't seem to need a wheelchair.
I've heard of that.
And you see them sometimes walking around the waiting areas before they get on the plane.
Instantly healed by the flight.
Chris, is it not a miracle? I mean, these are going on all over the country. I'm surprised that some of the more religious-based people haven't picked up on this.
It's amazing, yeah. They're actually called hallelujah flights, too, if you want to get religious about it. This is where people will demand a wheelchair, and you'll see them, the whole parade of wheelchairs going on the flight, usually to a warm weather destination. And then when the flight lands. Miraculously, all of these people who had to be wheeled on will suddenly jump out of their seats and they are healed. They walk off the plane. In all seriousness, guys, there are people with real disabilities who need these seats, and the people who are gaming the system and saying that they need a wheelchair, they really, they've got to do an ethical gut check here, because they think this is a victimless crime. They are so wrong about that.
Well, and Chris, I travel with a lot of older folks. My demographic and my clientele is retired folks, seniors, mature travelers. And it's not uncommon for us to have three or four people who need a wheelchair to pre-board, and to have three or four or five or six other people who legitimately, you can tell by watching them walk down the jetway, that it's probably a good idea that they have a little bit of a head start on folks. So we're not talking about people here. As you mentioned, there are folks who legitimately need this service. And what happens oftentimes, Chris, in secondary airports particularly, I'll show up with one of my groups or something and I have a legitimate need for a couple of three assistance people. Well, these fakers have gotten on the other end, and so now the airline thinks that they need six or seven wheelchairs on arrival, but the reality is they don't. So they round up every single wheelchair runner in the entire secondary airport and probably their relatives and get them all to the gate so they've got enough wheelchairs so they don't break the ADA rules, and then they find out that they only needed two of those wheelchairs. So these folks are causing problems throughout the system by faking their way onto the airplane in order to get a little bit better seat. And I've noticed that this seems to prevail even more on Southwest flights where people do not have assigned seating.
It's hard to say. There's actually, it happens more often on flights to warm weather destinations at this time of year for some reason. I don't even know why. But the more interesting question, and the one that I ask in this column, which hasn't come out yet, is why are people doing it? Of course, it's nice to have preferential treatment. You know, you get on the plane early. You get maybe the overhead bin space for your luggage. You get a little bit of extra special attention and service from the flight crew. But why are people asking for this? And this is also true, of course, for these hotel rooms that have a little extra space in them for people with disabilities where you can get in and out of the shower. So why are people doing this? And I actually think that while there are some people who are just, they're entitled and they're jerks, they're going to do this, there actually are legitimate reasons because for trying to fake. And I'm not saying that this is an excuse by any stretch, but the travel industry, and this is true of airlines mostly, has taken space away from us consistently over the years to the point where it's very uncomfortable for people to be flying in economy class. And so any chance that someone can have a little bit of preferential treatment, early boarding, access to the overhead bin, maybe a seat on the bulkhead that has a little bit more space, they're going to try to do that. So you see a lot of people feigning disabilities because they just want to be treated in a civil way. Again, not a good excuse, but that is the reason why they're doing it, I believe.
Our guest, Christopher Elliott, consumer advocate. And Chris, I think you're right on. That's exactly what I think is here. The situation is, and you mentioned this victimless crime, you know, you are inconveniencing other passengers by that kind of behavior. But I think a lot of people are just trying to stick it to the airlines by pulling this kind of stuff, because for the very reason that you said, because they've been squeezing us everywhere else they can on a regular basis.
People think they're getting screwed. And so when they get an opportunity to get even, they take it without regard to how it might impact the other travelers around them, which is unfortunate. But Chris, you make a very valid point. I think you've hit the nail right on the head. A lot of these people would not be resorting to this if they were just treated in a more civilized fashion in the first place.
Well, you know, we've had this discussion before, and it extends to other things like mileage programs and travel hackers. And you know, my mom used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. It's true. The airlines are doing this to us. A lot of us feel screwed. That doesn't mean that we have to do it back to them. Remember that we have the most powerful weapon of all. We have our pocketbooks and our wallets, and we can still vote with our pocketbooks and wallets. A lot of people tell me, hey, Chris, I'm not going to travel. I'm not going to fly anymore. I'm going to drive. They say, instead of flying on one of the legacy carriers, I'm going to go with one of these new low-cost carriers or maybe with Southwest because they treat me a little bit better. And you know what? I think that a ticket on JetBlue is a much more powerful way of saying screw you than feigning a disability.
Chris Elliott is our guest today on The Travel Guys. Chris, as I mentioned at the top of the interview, his column appears in the Sacramento Bee every Sunday. You can go to travelguysradio.com and you can get a link there to subscribe to Chris's newsletter. It's a consumer advocate newsletter that covers, it is basically travel, but every once in a while, kind of like this show, when they find something that they really think will help consumers, why they veer over there and snag, put it on their website, including the names and the addresses and the contacts for lots of companies that you might need someday. If you just got this website and put it in your computer so that someday when you have an issue, you will know who to contact, while you'll be doing yourself a huge favor. Chris, thank you so much. I know you're an incredibly busy guy now, so thank you for taking out some time to talk to us, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Chris. You're listening to The Travel Guys on KFBK, and coming up after the news, consumer advocate Ed Perkins joins us. We're going to talk about how to make you a smarter traveler when you hit that car rental counter. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Well, I hope you have your tape recorder or notepads handy, because today is one of those days where we really excel at making you a smarter traveler. Here on The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and we do our best to bring you nothing but the best guests. And if you've been listening to the show very long, you know one of our favorite and best guests is Ed Perkins. Ed, welcome to The Travel Guys once again.
As always, it's good to be with you.
Ed, you've been traveling. You said you spent the holidays overseas. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I went to Vienna. I took advantage of a very short window sudden airfare sale. And it was, as they say, a deal too good to turn down. So I went over there for about 10 days, had a good time. Fortunately, didn't come down with this cold until the day I was leaving. So
good.
I had ate lots of strudel, ate lots of schnitzel, ate lots of schlag, and heard lots of Strauss.
That was great. I love that.
It sounds like he was pretty happy, doesn't it, Tom?
It does.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, today, Ed, I wanted to talk a little bit about car rentals, because you've done a couple pieces recently that have been really excellent pieces. I compliment you on them, and I want to talk about them today. The first one is in regards to third-party automobile insurance. We've touched on this briefly before, but you've come up with a website and a vendor. One of the greatest, biggest rip-offs, and we tell people always on this program, is the liability insurance that rental car companies try to sell you when you go in, and collision damage waivers and all the different insurance coverages and stuff like that. And most of them, they are huge markup. Ed, tell us about this incredible opportunity, this option available to car rental folks.
Well, I guess you're talking about the third-party sites that are selling collision damage for less than $10 a day.
Right. You had specifically mentioned InsureMyRentalCar.com.
InsureMyRentalCar, and that seems to have the lowest prices, and from what I've heard, they're doing okay.
Now, you mentioned that they have a rate of $750 a day. I'm looking on their website now, and which rental car companies charge anywhere from $15 to $30 a day, depending on what kind of car that you're renting. And also, this website offers an annual deal, where for $99 a year, you can have the collision damage insurance for all your rental cars.
That's right. And if you rent cars at all, you're going to pay these days $20 to $30 a day if you buy the rental company's high-priced CDW. So these third-party sites do a very good job. One of the things I have found recently is that if you rent a car now through an outfit like Expedia or Priceline or Hotwire or one of those, chances are they will offer you insurance, and it isn't the rental company's insurance. They're doing the same thing these other third-party people are. They're renting, they're doing their own insurance, and they usually charge $10 a day or less.
Ed, so there's really a lot of savings to be involved here. Is the type of insurance any different? Is the coverage less, or is this a compare? Is this apples to apples?
Not quite. The one big advantage of the rental car company's deal, it's hugely overpriced, but if you have a dent in the fender or something like that, when you get turn the car in, you just turn your back and walk away from it. With any of these third-party insurance programs, they will charge the rental company will charge you, put on your credit card, their estimate of what it's going to take to repair the car, and then you have to submit a claim to the insurance company. So it isn't as clean as turning your back and walking off the lot.
Okay, and we'll have on TravelGuysRadio.com, we will have a link to the one that you mentioned, InsureMyRentalCar.com, for folks who rent cars and might want to take a look at that. Let's same category, rental cars. You had a wonderful article about 8 rental car gotchas that your credit card insurance might not cover. And I thought these were all excellent. So I'll fire them off here, and you give me a comment on each one.
Sure.
Upgrade to an SUV.
A lot of credit card policies say they do not cover full size SUVs.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay, expensive cars, same thing?
Same thing.
Now you're talking about the credit card insurance for damage, correct?
That's correct.
Your basic, but once you go RV or SUV or you go luxury, then you're no luck.
You have to be very careful and read the fine print because some companies cover it and others do not. So, nobody's going to cover a Lamborghini, but if you rent a commercial type minivan, for example, no credit card's going to cover that. But a standard type minivan like a Dodge Caravan, probably at least some credit cards will cover it. So you have to know what your credit card covers.
So if you're thinking about renting an exotic car, go back and read what your credit card covers, because otherwise you may actually need some of this expensive insurance. Vans and pickups, same thing?
Same thing.
Flat tires.
A lot of times that gets excluded. If you have a flat tire, you often are on the hook to pay for that. And that's true even if you buy the rental car company CDW.
Really? So because it's just because it's not considered damage, I guess.
That's right.
An unlocked car. Neither the rental car's insurance theft or credit card will cover you if the police report or other source notes that the car was unlocked at the time of the theft.
That's correct. It's just being careless to leave a car unlocked. You generally wouldn't do that with your own car, and you certainly shouldn't do it with a rental car with your baggage in it. Or even if you're just running around town, it's considered negligent driving if you leave your car unlocked and park it for a while.
We're talking with consumer advocate Ed Perkins, and our subject here is 8 car rental gotchas here on KFBK. The next one, damage to others.
Your credit card almost never covers damage to others. That's liability coverage, and that's a different animal. Now, in the U.S., most rentals carry only the liability coverage is included, but it's only the minimum required by the state, which can be as low as $10,000, which, as you know, will barely pay walking in the lawyer's office if something really bad happens. So, fortunately, most people are covered by their own liability insurance when they're driving a rental car. I advise people, and this is not just for rental cars, I advise people to get a high-value umbrella liability policy no matter what you're doing. And you can usually get one up to $1 million for very little more than you'd pay for a low-value contract. The other thing people need to know is in Europe, minimum liability requirement by individual countries is much higher and is generally adequate to cover anybody.
Now, the reason, one of the reasons we're having this discussion, and we've talked about this over the years in regards to going ahead and getting insurance provided by the car rental company or relying on your insurance that might be associated with your credit card, is the concern that, you know, for a long time, we had talked about it on the show, that your own personal automobile insurance will cover some or all of the same kind of thing that they're trying to sell you at the car rental counter. Is that not the case?
It varies from policy to policy. And in general, even if your policy covers you, it usually doesn't cover you for all of the different items that a rental car company will claim.
Got it.
And so some of these items that we're talking about here, upgrading to an SUV or a more expensive car, or renting a van or a pickup, having a flat tire, leaving your car unlocked and having it get stolen, getting into a weird situation where you have to abandon the car, you may be liable for the full time until the car can be rescued, damage to others, in other words, liability situations. And finally, the last thing on your list here, Ed, is prepaid collision damage waivers, which we kind of addressed a little bit earlier here, but you're talking about a little bit different angle here.
Yeah, and this is a real can of worms. Many overseas rentals include in the base rate a certain amount of CDW, of damage coverage. It's basically a very high deductible. So you have to check with your credit card company.
CDW, collision damage waiver, one of the popular types of insurance that car rental companies will sell you. So, Ed, I guess the bottom line to this is that if you rent cars frequently, and I'm going to do this myself now based on this interview, if you rent a car frequently or even infrequently, you need to check your credit card's rules and your own personal automobile insurance rules to find out where you are covered and where you are not, particularly if you're going to rent something other than a mid-size or full-size normal regular car, then you may very well need to have some extra coverage, or there may be specific ways that you accept or decline that coverage. Would that be fairly accurate?
That certainly is.
There you go.
There you have it from a man who knows about ins and outs. And, you know, sometimes we sit and talk about this and it doesn't sound really sexy until you rent a car and you get into one of these situations. And one other thing before we let Ed go here, Tom, that I want to mention to folks is if you're ever taking a rental car back and there's no one there when you take it back, in other words, there's no one to accept the car, you've come in very early, very late, you've rented it from a car company where there isn't anyone on duty to accept the car, I strongly recommend to you that you take several pictures of the automobile from different angles so that later on they don't come back to you and say, hey, there was this ding on the bumper. And when you brought the car back and you say, well, no, there wasn't. And they say, yeah, there was. And it becomes a he said, she said. And then you're into, if nothing else, you're into a messy situation that takes up a lot of your time. So
no, that's absolutely right. And I urge people to take pictures of their car both before and after their rental. I mean, that's one of the great features of travel features of smartphones. And, of course, the phone dates them, so there can't be any argument about whether you took that before you turned it in. It takes a couple of minutes, but I already used that once where there was a streak of damage to the paint on the car that I turned in, and they were ready to write me up and send me a bill. And I pulled out the phone and said, look, that was there when I picked up the car.
Car insurance, things you need to know, making you a smarter traveler. Thank you, Ed Perkins.
Always good to be with you folks.
Thank you so much, Ed. We are the Travel Guys. Find us at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Coming up right after the break, our last segment, we put on our entertainment hats and take you up into the Sierra foothills for some great community theater. Well, actually, it's more than community theater. Sarah Jones joins us from the Sierra Repertory Theater coming up next on The Travel Guys.
Country roads take me home to the place.
Look at there. It's the travel and entertainment guys, Mark and Tom, here on the radio once again. brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And thanks so much for joining us. Mark, you got a special guest on the phone with us again today.
Tom, you know, we say travel and entertainment guys, as you just said,
yes.
And this is a case, one of those cases where it kind of overlaps again. For many years, sports leisure travelers have been going up into the Sierra foothills to a couple of really wonderful theaters that operate just up in the foothills in the Sonora area, the East Sonora Theater and the Fallon House in Columbia. And so I thought how wonderful it would be, since I got a press release about their upcoming season, that we could have them on, because probably besides the folks who go with Sports Leisure Vacations, lots of folks like to go for a weekend drive up in the hills, and by golly, you can see some great entertainment. There's some wonderful restaurants up there. And so Sarah Jones, who is the managing director of the Sierra Repertory Theater, is joining us on the Travel Guys. Welcome, Sarah.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, guys.
Sarah, when did the Sierra Repertory Theater start?
This is going to be the beginning of our 37th year.
Sarah, tell folks who are listening and may not be familiar with the theaters, tell them a little bit about the theaters in the Sierra Repertory and what you do and how you do it.
Sure. We started in 1980. We were just five college kids or recent graduates who had done some summer stock up at the Fallon House Theater in Columbia. And we all completely fell in love with the area, fell in love with the people. You know, we're kind of young and crazy and thought, hey, let's, you know, hang up a sheet and do some theater here. So all five of us moved into one house together and shared our incomes and our paid each other's bills and so forth, since obviously nobody could get paid starting a theater for quite a while. And we just got a little warehouse and raised a little bit of money and did our first show, which was Dracula, back in February of 1980. And then, you know, that raised enough money to do the next one and the next one and the next one. And here we are opening our 37th year with what will be our 300th production.
My eye certainly caught Hank Williams' Lost Highway, because I am a huge Hank Williams fan. Tell me about this performance. What is this?
It's a terrific kind of a bio show. So there is an actor who plays and sings and acts the role of Hank Williams. And, of course, it's sort of somewhat tragic in the sense that, you know, like some young stars or people who are have challenges in life, he died very young.
Yeah, he had a challenged life. There's no doubt about it. Very talented, but there was a lot of angst there.
A lot of angst in his life. But he is sort of considered the person who brought something of the blues into country music. And it's a really, really interesting bio. You know, there are a lot of these, and we've done a number of them, Tammy Wynette and Patsy Cline and so forth, but this is actually one of the best written of those musical bios. I mean, it really tells a very interesting story, both about him as a human being and also about how he changed the music. And we don't have our Hank Williams yet, so if you want to come down and audition, let us
boy.
Know.
I'm telling you, Tom, there's an opening there.
Yeah.
You're a big Hank Williams guy. You know,
here's the only problem is we're doing, and I would love to do this, and in regards to being able to do the music, I think I could do well. It's it's just that this is the young, you know, Hank Williams, what did he die in his?
He was 29, I think.
Well, you see, I'm just a teeny older.
Past that.
Just a couple years.
Well, besides Hank Williams, coming up this spring at the East Sonora Theater is My Fair Lady.
Right, that's going to be our 300th production. So, and it's, you know, the beautiful, beautiful show with Eliza Doolittle and Henry Higgins that everybody knows and loves. It's been one of the most successful shows we've done. I think we did it about 12 years ago or so.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hey. Sports Leisure Vacations is going to both Hank Williams and My Fair Lady. You can call us and you can go on.
Oh, good. I wonder if I can get a discount on it.
That's just a cheap inside plug.
Back
to our regularly scheduled interview. later on in the season, there's State Fair, there's the Beehive, the 60s musical sensation. You have Christmas shows. The best part, Sarah, about coming to your theater is that you get to come to these wonderful historic places. And there are great places to eat, so it's really like an outing. You know, most theater, you get there 30 minutes before the show starts, but if you go to the Sierra Repertory Theater, you have to get there at 10 o'clock in the morning so you can spend an hour looking at all the history, and then you can have a nice lunch or a Sunday brunch. Or is the City Hotel still serving meals up there in Columbia?
It is, yes. There's a new ownership, and they're doing a great job over there. There's the National Hotel and the Jamestown Hotel in Jamestown. Those are both historic places. places, and they're just a wonderful restaurant, great people. You know, it's a really fun town because it's historic, but it's also been a working town. So it's a great place to walk up and down the main street if you like that sort of thing, or go to Columbia State Park, which is sort of that more traditional Gold Rush historic area. We love living here, and we love sharing it with people.
Now, I see that there are season tickets available, of course, but people can buy individual tickets and come up for an individual show also. Tickets are really very, very reasonable.
They are. I mean, and I think people sometimes are surprised to find, I mean, you've both been there, so you know that the production quality is very professional. Most people think, oh, it's a little town, it's going to be a little community theater, you know, how sweet. But, you know,
so
we bring actors from New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and other places across the country. And so, in fact, the guy who's playing Henry Higgins has done 3 roles on Broadway in addition to a whole career across the country doing regional theater and so forth. So
give the folks an idea, Sarah, of how big the theaters are. What's the seating in each of
the
theaters?
You bet. We have 2 theaters. Our original theater is in East Sonora, and that one has 200 seats. So that's also a great reason to come see shows because it's so intimate and really a lovely place. I mean, you are just right there in the action. And then at the Fallon House in Columbia State Park, it's about 270 seats. And it's a little bit more old-fashioned. It really has that spirit of, you know, they tried to build it like an old Opry house. So it's a little bit long and narrow, and it's a great, very moody place to see theater as well.
It's a piece of history for sure. It's a Sierra Repertory Theater. They are in Sonora and Columbia. Their season pretty much runs from February the 27th all the way to the end of the year. Really, to our listeners, Tom, I just cannot give a higher recommendation. Folks come back from, we have people who go on these trips year after year,
sure,
after year after year. It's a wonderful outing on a weekend or on an evening. If you already live up in the foothills and you're listening to this broadcast from there, then you probably are already theater fans. But this is really, the quality of the performances is excellent, as Sarah said, and the shows have great variety. I highly recommend a day or an evening to go up and see the Sierra Repertory Theater. We'll put links on the website for you, Sarah.
Great.
Anything else we should tell our listeners?
No, please come see us. That's about it. And thank you, too, for coming and bringing groups all these years.
Thanks, Sarah. And if I wasn't always doing this silly radio show every Sunday, I'd take a Sunday drive up to the Repertory Theater.
Up to Sonora?
Yeah, we are the Travel Guys. By the way, travelguysradio.com is the location. Boy, what a show. You know, I went away with a lot of valuable information.
I sure hope our
listeners did too.
Price guarantees. You know, I mean, just good stuff that you can really use when you travel. You might want to, if you didn't catch the whole thing, the podcast will be up on travelguysradio.com sometime on Tuesday. You can catch all of the past shows there. And if you missed last week's show, we had Mr. Las Vegas, Wayne Newton, on with us. So you can go to the Travel Guys Radio and catch that show.
All righty, next week on The Travel Guys.
Next week, we are going to have our first ever listener survey. We're going to find out what you like in hotels and airlines. We're going to have prizes. It's going to be basically a call-in show. That's next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Thanks so much for joining us. You stay well. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 on The Travel Guys.